right. And so tonight we're going to talk about prayer. And I want to start off with this quote by Martin Luther, and it's on the second slide. And it says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Doesn't that sound good? It's not true, y'all, because you can be a Christian, okay, and not pray at all. You can be on this side of Christianity having said that you're a Christian and, you know, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior and still not pray. I cannot even tell you how many times I go to different churches, and when I go to the product table and people come and talk to me, they're honest enough to say, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. And most of these people have been in church their entire lives. And the reason that they're saying they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start is because they're usually comparing their experience in prayer with someone else who seems to have more than them. And so they feel like if I can't get there, then I'd rather not pray. And when they're saying, I don't really know where to start, they're looking at how do I get to what I see in this person or that person, and they don't understand prayer is really the most simple part of your faith. It's really just conversation. And so I kind of revamped this quote on slide 3 to say, to be a believer that does not pray is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Because when you've crossed over from just being a Christian to being someone who believes, who is discipled by the example of Christ, prayer just comes out. It is a part of your life. It is so natural. It is second nature to you. But when you're just a Christian, prayer is something that you can do without. But when you believe, you always go to the source of where your belief is. And so let's talk about what prayer is. And this message is not going to be long because I want to give space for the Holy Spirit to move. So what is prayer? Slide 5. There are 4 parts to prayer. And we've always said, well, it's talking and listening. But it's a little bit more than that. Number 1 is talking, where you talk to the Lord. And there's conversation with the Lord. Then there's listening, where you're listening for his voice. But there's also an abiding that happens when prayer is effective. It is the ministry of presence, where you don't necessarily have to be talking, but it is about being in the presence of God. When you get to a certain place in prayer, there's not so much talking as much as there is presence, where you can sit in the presence of God. And while we're on the topic of sweetest day, when you come into a real relationship with someone and there's love, and it doesn't even have to be a romantic significant other, it can just be you sitting with your children or anyone that you love, there is a presence that is there, and no one has to be saying anything. Sometimes when we take road trips, the whole family is just sitting in the car quiet, but it's something about the presence of being amongst those that you love. When you are effectively praying, there is something that happens where you can just sit in presence and you can feel him and you can feel the impressions of his heart and you can feel the way that he wants you to experience him in that day. And then after you move from talking and you move from listening and you move into presence, you begin to be positioned for the action and the outcome. It is when you move from hearing into actually doing what it is that he said. Because you can go into the presence of God and you can talk and you can hear his instruction and you can get right on up and decide not to do what it is that he said. But when you lay in his presence and you understand the ministry of presence, in that presence is a trust that is deposited, where you are able to move from that space and actually fulfill what it is he's spoken. And so what are the things that hinders us from praying? Because let me tell you something. The people that are fought the most when it comes to prayer are the people that understand its power. We're all fought when it comes to prayer at some level and some capacity. So what are the things that hinders us from praying? The first thing is comparison, like I spoke of. When you're comparing yourself to the people that you've seen pray or you heard pray, or, you know, I grew up in a church where they had the mothers of the church that would host prayer, and they all seemed so powerful. And when it was time for me to start praying on my own, I was instantly comparing myself to what I saw. I felt like, well, if I can't speak in tongues like that, and I can't say that I heard from God and all of those things, I felt very ineffective. But the first thing that God started to teach me was to talk to him like I talk to anybody else. When I said that prayer is natural to the believer, it is as simple as a conversation. It's being willing to feel crazy sitting in your car driving. Now listen, before they came out with Bluetooth and speakers in your car, I would be so embarrassed to be driving in my car talking, because I would say, people gonna think I'm crazy because there's nobody else in this car. But it's being willing to have a conversation without a body present, understanding that his spirit is inside of you and your spirit is communicating with his spirit. And so it should be natural to strike up a conversation with the Lord and share the things that are on your heart, especially those of us who have long commutes. Do it in your car. Do it wherever you are. I literally have an ongoing conversation with the Lord throughout the day. It starts in the morning. It's at different spots in the day. And then there's a part of my evening that I give to the Lord. And I don't even want to tell you why. I give him an hour, and I give him 30 minutes, and I give him 15 minutes. I don't put a time on it because it's literally an ongoing conversation. Do you go into a conversation with your spouse and say, now you got an hour? No, you are in conversation with them all throughout the day. You're getting text messages from your kids. You're getting text messages from other people. It should be the same way with the Lord, where he has access and there is a conversation constantly going throughout the day. And what it does is it creates a sensitivity to his voice. When you put him in a box and say, I'm going to give you these 30 minutes, you're getting 30 minutes of results. And what you're doing is cutting out the possibility where maybe, just maybe, he wants to speak to you in the middle of washing your clothes or in the middle of working on a project at work. Because one thing I found out about God is he will speak to you at the most random times, because what he's doing is cultivating a sensitivity to being able to hear his voice. The next thing that will keep us out of prayer is offense. Offense with God, offense with people. Because one thing I found out about the Lord is when you go to him offended concerning other people, he never sides with you. What he starts to do is give you information concerning the person. There was a lady on my job, y'all, and she was highly offensive. When I say highly offensive, she would literally talk to me like I was a child. And I'm not an easily offended person at all. Doing the things that we've done in ministry and coming from the family that I've come from, I realized that whenever people are like that, it's usually a backstory, and it's things that they've gone through to cultivate a rude personality. But she would talk to me so crazy, and at the time, I had to depend on her to train me. And in her training me, she would use every last single mistake or every last single question to demean me. And it was to the point that I felt myself getting to the edge, because we all have an edge. Even if you have the greatest temperament and the greatest self-control, you have an edge. And I'm on this side of salvation. But listen, y'all, the old Shawnee is still down in here somewhere, and she will resurrect if you push her. Don't push me, cuz y'all not saved. Y'all sinners. Whole church piped up. Don't push me. Pastor Gail said he didn't know. Praise the Lord. He the only one saved. But listen, she was so offensive, and it was to the point that I was getting so upset. And I went home and I prayed, and the Lord, this is what he told me. He didn't even tell me what was wrong with her at first. He said, when you go to Tim Hortons tomorrow, I want you to get her a gift card. And I said, okay. So when I went through the drive-thru, I got her a $25 gift card. I put it in a card, and I said, I just want to thank you for training me. And I put it on her desk. When she came in, She didn't say good morning, because she's one of them people that don't say good morning. And while we on that, let me tell y'all something. When your parents used to say, when you would walk into the room and they would say, you better speak, it was training for being an adult, because it's a lot of adults that won't speak. They will come right into that office, sit down and not say a word to you. And she was one of those people, you could say good morning, she would look you in your face and not say anything. And so she came in and she got the card and she read it. And she said, you didn't have to do this. And I said, I know, but I just want to thank you. And so that day when I went and sat next to her and she started training me, not only was her temperament different, but as I sat there next to her for the first time, I literally could feel everything that was going on with that woman. And what the Lord did was he gave me instructions as I was abiding in his presence. Remember part three, he gave me instructions. He said, go get her a gift card. I did part four. I took the action and obeyed. And when I obeyed, it opened up my senses to begin to tell what was going on with this woman. I could feel all sort of trauma and things going on in her marriage and with her children. And as time went on, she began to confide in me that her husband had such debilitating ADHD that he could not work, and that her son, who was 11, also had it to the point that he couldn't be in school. And she began to tell me that she had Bell's palsy and all of these different things. And these were all things that I could feel as I sat there next to her. When I obeyed the Lord, he took away the offense. And so when you go into prayer and you're offended with people or you're offended with him, it hinders your ability to pray. Because what ends up happening, all of these emotions and all of these things come up and they cloud your ability to hear. Then there is condemnation and regret. When we're condemned and when we're under the weight of feeling less than or feeling like sin or regretful for things that we've done, we go into the presence of God, and what we start to hear is not that we're accepted and that we're loved, but we begin to hear the judgment of people. It's not really God that is speaking, but it's the things that we've been taught, that you have no right here because you're this or you're that. Then there's misplaced affection. And I want to go to James 4, 1 through 5, and I don't know if I put it on a slide, but I want to read this because this actually came up in prayer Thursday night during VC's prayer, and I had never seen this before in this way. But James 4, 1 through 5 says, and what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is the source not your pleasures that wage war in your body's parts? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder, and you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend what you request on your pleasures. This is the part, verse 4. You adulteresses, you do not know that your friendship with the world is hostility towards God. Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We've always heard that verse, and we've heard it taught, that when you're a friend of the world, you can't be a friend of God. Separate yourself from the world so you can be a friend of God. But what that really means, that word friend means affection. When your affections are tied to the world, it instantly results in hostility towards God and the things of God. And so here it is, we will sit and take in all kind of filth and trash and the things we take in through media, through television, through conversation. And what it's creating is a binding or an affection with the things of culture and the things of this world and the things of this life. And then when we go to prayer, there is hostility towards the things of God. There is hostility towards the things associated with the kingdom. There is hostility associated with things of the spirit, because we've literally cultivated an affection that is tied to something that is anti-Christ. Then there is ignorance. When you don't understand the power of prayer and what the Lord is in your life, when you simply do not know or have an understanding of what it does for you and what it puts inside of you, there creates this sense of lackadaisical attitude where you feel like, well, I didn't pray today, I can pray tomorrow. Or, you know, I'll be fine, I'll just catch a Bible study Wednesday, or I'll pray Thursday, because we don't understand that cultivating a relationship, I bet you would not skip a conversation with somebody you're dating or somebody you're married to. You wouldn't go a whole day just not talking to them. It would feel very weird or strange. They would be like, is something going on? It should be the same way in your relationship with the Lord. Then there is unbelief. When we have unbelief in our heart, when there is a sense of struggle concerning trust and faith and hope and the things of God, who wants to spend time praying to someone that they don't even believe in? And then there's a sense of feeling ineffective, where you feel like I've prayed, or the last time I prayed about this, nothing happened, or feeling like you spent time just talking and you couldn't hear and you don't have direction. And then you start to feel like, well, other people hear from God so much easier than me. There is a sense of feeling like you're wasting your time or it's not yielding any results. But I want to ask you this question, because someone else asked me this question before. They said, how do you judge your growth or your effectiveness in prayer? How do you judge your growth or your effectiveness in prayer? Now, we're going to do a little exercise, and I want y'all to be honest, because you're in church, and we've taught y'all well enough to know that you being in church doesn't really mean anything, because a liar is a liar. And I want y'all to know, between my relationship with the Holy Spirit and all of the episodes of Law and Order that I watch, I know when y'all lying. Law and Order has helped me to figure out criminals. So I want y'all to be honest on a scale of 1 to 10, and I want you to hold up your numbers in the air. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest, how do you feel like your prayer walk and relationship with God is going? Just hold it up. Don't look around. Don't look at nobody else. Just hold it up. Come on, Chantel. The Lord said. Okay, I see some 10s up here. Eric got a 10. Now, see, I told you I watch Law and Order, Eric. 10s. We got some 10s and some. Okay, we doing good. We doing good here. Kay was honest. She got a 4. All right, Kay. And so I want to, first of all, sometimes when we're talking about, Gail, what did you have up? I didn't look at you. You didn't put up nothing. He told me to pray about it. So sometimes when we're talking about the effectiveness of prayer and how good our prayer life is, we tend to judge that based off of results. When people say, I can get a prayer through. Let me tell y'all something. Any and everybody can get a prayer through. There is not a prayer that is not heard. That is a myth. Every prayer gets through. Every last single one that you pray gets through. God hears all of them. But this is the difference. You're able to judge the effectiveness of your prayer by being able to tell the answer. Because every prayer gets through and every prayer is answered, but sometimes we don't perceive what the answer is. Sometimes in the silence is simply no. That's an answer. And so when we say, I can get a prayer through, we tend to think that that's how you judge prayer. But I want to go to this, and I'm getting ready to wrap up. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16, and I'm going to read this, and I'm going to read it really quickly. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. This is why your affections being tied to the world creates this hostility towards God from James 4. It said, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ because we have the Spirit of Christ. And so how do you judge your growth and your effectiveness in prayer? Slide 9. We judge our growth and effectiveness in prayer by our ability to perceive, pray, and agree with what the Spirit is saying. This is when spiritual maturity in your walk with the Lord and your prayer walk has reached a point where it is effective. It is when you have the ability to perceive what the Spirit is saying, when you pray and you agree with what the Spirit is praying. We pray what He prays, we say what He says. This is when prayer is effective. And the thing about this, the reason that the Holy Spirit inside of you is so important and your ability to perceive what the Spirit is saying is because often when He's praying, it sometimes goes against what it is that we want and what it is that we think. And a mature believer is able to still hear His answer even when it is contrary to what it is we want and what it is that we feel. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He took Peter, was it Peter and John? It was all three of them, I think. He said 10. That has nothing to do with prayer. It has to do with being scholarly. But when He took His disciples with Him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He sat them to the side. Now, up until this point, the disciples had not seen Jesus pray. Remember when they said, teach us to pray? It was because every time that Jesus prayed, He went away alone to pray. And I believe that He did this for many reasons, but one of them is, in my opinion, is had they seen Him praying, they likely would have tried to model that. And prayer is not something that you model after someone else. You model after your own relationship with God. Prayer is personal. And truth be told, He probably was praying about them jokers the way they got on His nerve and didn't want them to hear it. But they said, teach us to pray. They said, we heard that John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Can you teach us to pray? Because they were so immature and was trying to one-up everybody. They wanted to be at a level where they saw everybody else. And so when Jesus took them into the Garden of Gethsemane, it was Peter, James, and John. He took the three that had come to Him and had asked for the right hand when He gets into the kingdom. And He said, I want y'all to come with me. This was at the moment that He was getting ready to be betrayed and He was getting ready to go to the cross. And He said, y'all stay here and you pray. I'm going to go a little further and I'm going to pray. And they ended up falling asleep, and He came to them and He rebuked them, not because they were sleeping, but He rebuked them for this reason. He said, the spirit is willing, because their spirit was willing when they said, we want to enter your kingdom with you. He didn't just take that as, well, we want position, but He saw something inside of them that said, we're asking for something that costs a great price. And what Jesus did was He modeled what it look like to want something that is of great price, but to struggle in your flesh. When he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, when he was saying to them, watch and pray that your spirit does not enter into temptation, what he was showing them was, I am at this moment where my spirit is willing to go to the cross, but my flesh is weak, and I need to model for you what it looks like to be called to do something great, to know that I'm supposed to do something great, but my flesh is so weak, and I want you to watch me defeat my flesh as I get ready to go to the cross. A mature believer knows how to pray in a way where your flesh is so weak, but your spirit is aware of what the price is in that moment and what it is that God is asking of you. When you're talking about effectiveness in prayer, it is when your spirit defeats your flesh. Every time where your spirit prays the will of God, even though your flesh is screaming for something else. It is being able to perceive what the Spirit is saying and praying what the Spirit is saying. And so, as I get ready to close, in Romans 8, 26 through 28, it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to what? The will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When we talk about prayer, and you all can stand to your feet, effectively praying there was a point in my walk with the Lord. And I know Pastor Gail doesn't mind me being fully transparent. When me and Pastor Gail first got married, the shock of two worlds coming together, two upbringings coming together, I had this idea of what marriage was going to be like. And you know, we had premarital counseling, but let me just tell y'all something. Premarital counseling is great, but y'all, you need postmarital counseling. Because you go in with rose-colored glasses like, this is going to be great. Nothing prepares you for the reality that we two different people. Me and Pastor Gail did not live together before getting married because we was holy. So we get married, and just, I'm not even talking about the little things like him throwing his clothes on the floor, y'all, or, you know, literally putting empty containers back in the pantry or the refrigerator or ice trays completely empty. Like, why are they in here? You know, just not the little things, but the shock of just getting married and two lives coming together. And I remember praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And I just felt like things weren't changing, because I was judging my effectiveness in prayer by getting the answers that I thought God was supposed to give. Some of you all feel ineffective in prayer because you have an idea of what the answer should look like, and God has already answered you. You just haven't caught up with the Spirit. And so after I wore myself out praying and praying and praying, I remember the day like it was yesterday, that I was so frustrated, and it was raining outside, and I was talking to the Lord. And I was offended. Remember I said offense? I was offended. I was so offended with God. And the Lord spoke to me so gentle. and said, who told you that if you pray for him, I'm going to change him? Because when he's asking us questions, he already know the answer. He's just asking us because he want us to go on a search. Because this is what conversation with a friend looks like. He said, who told you? He didn't just answer me. He went to the root of my offense. He didn't just say, you're mad. He said, this is why you're mad. You think that you pray for him and I change him. And he said, who told you that? And I said, I send the Bible somewhere. Because why would I think this? It's in there. So I went trolloping in my room, like, let me go find. And I went to the passage on prayer. I think it's in Ephesians. It's in Ephesians, yeah. I went to the passage on prayer, and listen, y'all, I read it left to right, up, down, left, right. And I said, now why did I think that? It don't say anything in here about you praying for somebody and God changing them. What it says is, I will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. That's the promise. Is that I'm going to give you peace that goes beyond your understanding. So then I was real mad. Like, now why did I think this? Who taught me this? And the Lord went on, because we're having a conversation now. He said, what happens if Gail is praying that I change you? Whose prayer do I answer? Because I know he was praying that the Lord would change me, and the Lord had said no. But he said, she's perfect, son. But, and so I started to realize, sometimes the way that we view our effectiveness in prayer is based off of mistruths. And what the Spirit will do is he will begin to uproot every mistruth that you have, so that instead of waiting to be happy based off of him changing someone, I could have the promise of peace that goes beyond the changes that have not yet happened. Judging your effectiveness in prayer is based off of your ability to hear what the Spirit is saying, to abide in that place, and to be able to follow out the action. He says, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, you can ask what you will and it will be done. The key is to be able to hear the Spirit, to hear his words, to let them abide in you, and you abide in the Father. And everything that you ask is a reflection of that filter that comes from the Spirit. The Lord is trying to grow us up. I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Your ability to know his will for you is more important than anything. And let me say this. The quality relationships that God put around you, there are times that even with my walk with the Lord and my prayer life, God will often send confirmation, whether it's words of correction, words of affirmation. We need each other. Our ability to hear the Spirit is also for one another. Because some of us, sometimes when certain parts of our flesh have not been filtered through the abiding, we hear what we want to hear, and then we call it the Lord. And we don't find out that it wasn't the Lord until we get results that don't look like the Lord. And I'm telling you, in this season, your ability to abide in him and to spend time with him is so critical. It can start small, y'all. It's as simple as just conversation, like I'm talking to you. I got to tell y'all, even with a strong relationship with the Holy Spirit, I don't speak in tongues every day. I don't my prayers don't always venture off into that area unless they're led by the Spirit. Sometimes I just get in prayer and I sit there and I just feel the heart of the Father in my quietness, because sometimes all of that speaking in tongues is just acrobats. It's a way for you to not have to still yourself enough to hear His voice. And when you still yourself enough to hear His voice and the Spirit gets involved, it often leads into that direction where you're starting to intercede and you're starting to feel Him building you up. But it becomes something that is not robotic. It is simply just resting in His presence. It can be just deciding to listen to worship music for a month straight. Some of the music that we're listening to is feeding lustful desires. And you have to decide, you know what, I can't handle that right now. I need something that's going to feed my spirit. There have been television shows that the Lord has told me point blank, you can't watch that. Now, it wasn't Law and Order. He told me I could watch Law and Order, y'all. But there's television shows that He said, you can't watch that, because it hits you different. And I had to have the ability to hear what the Spirit was saying to me. And I feel like in this season, the Lord is getting ready to take you all to a different place in prayer. How many people can honestly say you want to hear His voice better? You want to be able to discern what He's saying to you better. And you want to be able to discern how He's leading you and what His Spirit is saying. Some of us are in the middle of spiritual transitions, and God is saying, you need to be able to hear My voice like never before. You don't have the ability to just keep missing it, but not just hear My voice, the ability to abide in Me and follow through on the things that I'm speaking to you. Just lift up your hands in this place. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just speak a sensitivity to the heart and the mind of everyone that is present. I speak a passion and a hunger and a desire to know Your voice, to know Your leading, to feel uninhibited when they come before You. Right now, I remove condemnation off of the hearts and minds of those that feel less than. We cast down imaginations and thoughts that would come in and take away from our ability to approach You. I even pray right now for those that are called to intercession, that have a heavy gift of intercession. And I speak right now in the name of Jesus, no more excuses, that You literally will fight for Your place in prayer, that You will not allow anything to take away from Your post and Your position, that no inadequacy or sense of feeling less than will come in. I even speak right now sustainment by the Spirit. Before I hand this over to Pastor Gail, I want to share two words that the Lord spoke to me as I was preparing for this message. The first word was a tundra, and we know that a tundra is like a habitat, if you can say that. And I remember learning about tundras when I was younger and in elementary school. But one of the things about a tundra, the climate of a tundra, is it's like flat grasslands where the ground will freeze and then it'll thaw, and it allows for only a little bit of growth, but it literally cannot produce any trees. So it only experiences a little bit of growth, and then the ground will freeze and it'll thaw and a little bit of growth, but it's just the same growth, it's the same level. It never gets past a certain point. And I feel like God is saying tonight, if you're obedient to spend time in prayer, He is going to change your climate from a place that experiences a little bit of growth and then freezing and then a little bit of growth and freezing into something that literally breathes life. I just see growth beyond a level that you've ever known. If that's you and you know you've had a stagnant prayer life where it starts and stops, just lift up your hands. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak the ability to endure and the ability to keep going and the ability to remain constant, no stopping and starting. I speak trust in this place in the name of Jesus. The next word that I heard was the word myopathy, and it's a medical term, and pretty much it means weak muscles, like your muscles are weak. Or sometimes you'll have your muscles are weak, but you'll have spasms where your joints are out of control, and then it'll go back to being weak. And I feel like the Lord is saying He's getting ready to strengthen your spiritual muscles. Because some of you have gone through such hard seasons that it's weakened you because you're not going through these hard seasons with prayer. And God is saying He literally hungers and desires to hear your voice. He has given you His Spirit, and His Spirit inside of you is crying out for fellowship with the Father. And He is going to strengthen you even now in this moment. Just lift up your hands and say, Father, I receive your strength. Father, we receive your strength. We receive the strength of the Spirit.